Have you filed any restraining orders lately?
Well, I am interested to see how that court case comes out in Baton Rouge and see how that goes.
I got an alert here just a second. Said the SEC's filed a federal lawsuit in Alabama against LSU, Lane Kiffin. So all of that will continue. I want to talk to you about sports. I do want to talk to you about Arkansas Alumni Association first. When you came here and talked last year, you'd only been on the job for, what, five, 6 weeks, something like that?
Right.
So I feel like you've got a much better feel now for what you're doing than you did when we talked to you last year.
I hope so.
What's the last year been like?
Yeah, you know, really didn't, you know, as I sat here last year, I really didn't know what I didn't know, as they say. And but what I did know is what the university has meant to me, what the university has meant to so many around. And it's been a great year. The university is thriving under Chancellor Charles Robinson. We have amazing things going on. A lot of momentum, but I've also seen the importance of after being in Razorback athletics for a number of years, that is a community and that is a Razorback family. But it's so much larger than just athletics. There's a university, there's alumni. That's why I wanted to mention Dick's affiliation with the alumni associations. And so, you know what? I don't have to talk about transfer portal anymore. I just get to talk about Senior Walk, which is a really cool deal in the Land of Opportunity scholarship, which will be partnering for this first game. So those are the exciting things that I get to do. But I love Razorback athletics. A strong athletic program is important for the university. And all the great things going on at the university is important for Razorback athletics as well.
You go to some different locations. I saw you were in Gurdon recently, home of the Go Devils.
That's right.
But tell me about kind of just the travels that you do.
Well, people are very kind to invite me, and went down. A good friend, Anita Cabe, is down in Gurdon, and went down. Now, the Buc-ee's was not open when I went by, so that's what I – it was a few weeks before that opened outside of town. But, you know, that is where I came from. I came from a small town in Kansas. Ken Hatfield recruited my brother and to come here, and so – I tell people if you're upset that Kevin Trainor's at Arkansas, blame Ken Hatfield and Norm DeBrien, right? Because they recruited my brother. I had an opportunity. But I know what small-town football was. How small-town? I told the guys at Gurdon. I said I was the backup quarterback, nose guard, and place kicker, all right? And at halftime, I took off my shoulder pads and marched in the band. So that was that small town now. That small town. But those are great experiences. I love getting out in the state. You know, what I love about the Razorbacks, what I love about the university is we belong to the entire state. It's a tie that binds. And so when you can get down to Gurdon, when you can get down to Mena, when you can get down to other parts of the state, I think the people really appreciate that.
I figured out football was not for me after junior high. So when I was in high school, I wrote the game stories for the newspaper, but I would leave with 6 minutes left in the second quarter to go put on my band uniform, and I would march at halftime. And then I'd go back up to the press box in the second half. So I kind of get what you're talking about there. You know, like this time of year, people in your old profession, right, sports information directors, they'd be putting together game notes, which are these comprehensive packages that tell you everything you want to know about the team. If you were putting that together for what you guys do at the Alumni Association, I wonder what that would look like right now.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, you know, because there are so many great things. I mentioned you know, our university and alumni association are thriving. Here in a few days, they'll announce enrollment for the University of Arkansas. It'll be right around 34,000 again, and that's amazing. But what most people don't know is that's a record number of Arkansans coming to the University of Arkansas. I know you feel like you get behind out-of-state plates at the Chick-fil-A all the time, but there are more Arkansans here at the University of Arkansas than ever before. Many of you, I mentioned the Land of Opportunity Scholarship. This is the first year. And what I love Chancellor Robinson says is it's not about ability, it's about affordability. And so the Land of Opportunity Scholarship, thanks to a transformational gift from the Hunt family, is putting $200 million into bringing students from all over the state to the University of Arkansas. The goal is to get a student from every county in Arkansas, all 75. This year we have 102 from 56 counties. It's amazing. You know, even over at the Alumni Association, we give over 530 scholarships a year, close to $1.3 million in scholarships. Many of you may have seen recently the university announced the 150 forward goals. They are looking to expand our graduation success rates, highest it's ever been, 72.6. One of the goals is to make that 80% by 2032, and also to grow research from $250 million, the most ever, to $500. So you can see I've entered the Chancellor portal and gone over to Alumni Association, but there's still amazing things with the university and the Alumni Association, and we have so many great members, around 9,100 lifetime members of the Alumni Association. So I get to tell people about that and celebrate that.
We talk about the Alumni Association. I want to back up for a second, because I think there probably are some people who hear Alumni Association, and they've got maybe a very broad idea of what you guys do. Yeah. But if you could just go down to the very basic levels of what the Alumni Association does and how it works in partnership with the campus.
Yeah, the Alumni Association, if I had to describe it very briefly, we want to be one of the first touch points they have at the university, and we want to be the enduring link that you have to this university. And, you know, if your name is in Senior Walk, you are a member of the Arkansas Alumni Association. And so, in fact, we have our Senior Walk dedication coming up. There's nothing quite like having your name engraved in a sidewalk around campus. It never gets old. It's amazing. There's a map. If you don't know where your name is, there's a map. You can find that. But Alumni Association is about affinity for people that went to the university. But here's the beauty of it. You don't have to be a graduate of the University of Arkansas to join us. We have so many great supporters that didn't graduate from the University of Arkansas but are among our biggest supporters, and not just financially, but supporters in our scholars and our students to get involved. We have chapters and societies, over 25 chapters around the country, a bunch of them getting ready for watch parties, that sort of thing. And what's really fun is to connect them. It's once you leave, for most of us here in Northwest Arkansas, we kind of take the connection with the university and the Razorbacks for granted because it's so familiar. But when you go out to other parts of the state and you go out to other states, it can be more difficult to stay connected. That's what we want to do, is connect people to the university and the Razorbacks.
I was walking across campus, I don't know, about a month and a half ago, and I was looking down and I noticed so much of the sidewalk is covered with names. And you talk about there's going to be 34,000 students again this year, so your graduating classes are getting larger too.
Absolutely.
How do you guys preserve that Senior Walk tradition in terms of keeping the real estate available to do that?
Well, I jokingly asked Chancellor Robinson, I said, well, you're running out of sidewalk. What are you going to do? He says, we're not going to run out of sidewalk. Well, I'm Chancellor. I guarantee you that.
Leave that for the next guy.
Yeah. No, it is, you know, I'm sure they've gotten to finer print. Our good friend, and he was here for the Sports Writers and Sportscasters Hall of Fame, Larry Foley, told us about how the first stones of Senior Walk are there in the basement of Old Main. So, it started really early. But yes, no, it is something that links. And when people hear it, they think, oh, well, everyone does that. No one else does that. And so that's why it's a special tradition. And whether it's calling the hogs, whether it's Senior Walk, some of those things are the things that bind us together, just like athletics does as well.
All right, I want to talk to you about sports. For those who don't know, by the way, we didn't announce this a minute ago, Kevin was inducted earlier this year into the College Sports Communicators Hall of Fame in Las Vegas, which is the highest honor for anyone in your profession, right?
It is. Now, they didn't get me any luck in the casino floor or anything, yeah. But no, it was a great honor to be a part of that and be inducted alongside some greats, including Charlie Fiss, who's a longtime Cotton Bowl director of communications, proud Springdale High School graduate and University of Arkansas graduate as well.
Given what you did in college sports for so long, from a PR perspective, I want to talk to you about what's kind of going on now and what's happened this summer. You know, let's start with right now. What's going on at LSU? How would you like to be in that PR role right now?
Well, this isn't exactly the battle of the boot that we thought we'd be talking about, right? Is it going to be the battle of the boot out of the conference? I don't know. You read all these things. I'll tell you what, I know for my colleagues, and obviously still friends with so many of them, I always say, hey, I'm a text away if you need me, kind of a support group. But I know they're excited for the season to start, because so much of the off season and so much of college athletics in the past few years has been around court cases, has been mm-hmm. around challenges, has been around conference realignment. And so that's daunting. Obviously, with LSU, you have the combination of testing some rules or at least established guidelines mm-hmm. at this point from day to day, along with the way Coach Kiffin left Ole Miss and went to LSU. If Commissioner Sankey's going to be in a courtroom in Baton Rouge today, and that's what yeah. everybody's watching in anticipation of it. So I think the key is for those PR professionals to still try to put the focus as much as they can on the talented young men and women that are playing college athletics. But I joke with them now that I thought you got into sports, because a lot of times mm-hmm. they're dealing with everything but sports. But it's a challenge. You saw it at TCU, where there was an incident where they banned a newspaper. And I'll say this. I've always wanted to say this. Every time something happens here, I always heard, oh, we banned this report about it. Never in my 30 years did we ban a reporter for something they've written. So when somebody puts that out there, that wasn't true. That's not the way we believed we go about business. I believe that the people that we work for, and hopefully you feel the same way, we were colleagues, we friends. We understood the media had a job. Mm-hmm. They had a job to do. Wasn't always aligned with everything that we necessarily wanted, but the University of Arkansas is the strong program in the Razorbacks because of the coverage that this state has been provided by our media members, and that's a big part of it.
Don't you feel like there's a misconception between, like among people who are not in the type of professions that you and I are in, about how the media works with the teams they cover? Like, there's always these perceptions of, oh, well, you know, you don't write stories because you're afraid of having your credentials revoked, or that, you know, you've been banned from this or that. That kind of stuff really does not happen.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
I guess unless you're in Fort Worth.
Well, there you go. But that's why I mentioned it, because, again, there is an ebb and flow. The one thing that I don't miss necessarily is being the middleman between a media person that wants something and a coach that needs, and mm-hmm. you're always on the wrong side of that equation. But that's that part of that job, is to advocate for the media person with the coach or the athletic director, and vice versa, with back and forth. And I think it's just building the trust. I think that's the biggest piece. Once you build trust, you're able to say, hey, where are you going? I can guide you in this direction. Here's what you're going. Because ultimately, you're working together every day. And, mm-hmm. So many of my great friends, including two that we've lost in the recent with Nate Allen and Bob Holder, are lifelong friends. That was a friendship and a relationship. It's great to see Tom here, Ethan. There's so many friends in this business, but I think it's just respect and understanding what everybody's job is.
If you were at TCU right now, how would you advise what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, what is it? You don't get in a fight with those that buy barrels by the ink, is the saying. We decided you don't argue with the guys that actually put the ink on press either, yep, over there. But, I think sitting in a room discussing it. I remember when the SEC came out with a credentialing policy, and with Arkansas Democrat Gazette, there was some discussions with the university and the SEC, but we talked through that. We got to a common ground, and things have gone on. And I think that's the key when you don't do that. But again, this program belongs to the entire state. And so mm-hmm. I think people around the state deserve to know what's going on at an institution.
One of the interesting things to me is that social media has given people a platform like they never had before. Like 25 years ago, if you wanted to get your message out, you would send, you would give it to Kevin. Kevin would disseminate it to the press, and you would go on and do that. I think about what happened this summer at Texas Tech. Yep. You've got a booster who basically owns that program right now, and he's got a social media platform that he's kind of given his side of everything that's going on with their quarterback situation. And then they have this kind of infamous video where their university president, I think their chancellor, their AD, their football coach were all sitting there, and it was pretty universally seen as a just PR disaster. How much as a PR professional can you keep people from their own devices, so to speak, and tell them, hey,
literally from their own devices, yes,
that's right?
Yeah. That's what changed. I remember I came here as a student in 1990. Walked into the sports information department for Rick Schaefer, and many of you know Billy Rogers, who's up with the Springdale Chamber. And you know, I was cutting newspapers for about 6 months from the summer. But at that time, we would call over to Walton Hall, Razorback Hall, and you'd hope to catch the player on their landline phone in the dorm, right, to set up interviews, right? But when they came over and they visited with the media member, that was it. You didn't worry about it. Now, again, even for I often laugh when athletes, you know, they don't want to talk to the media, but then they'll go and they'll use this thing and they'll put out whatever, and then they'll be surprised when someone wants to ask them about it, right? That would be advice I give to you young men as well, is you're always on that. The shirt that you have on, the jersey you have on, it doesn't come off even when you're out in public. People are watching. They know who you are. And represent yourself in a way that's positive for yourself, for your family, and all that you want to be and do. Many athletes do a great job with that. And in this day, in the age of name, image, and likeness, I know sometimes that gets a rotten name sometimes. But it is an opportunity to build that brand. We used to, when I talked to Darren McFadden about doing interviews, it was always, hey, someday this is going to pay off for you. Mm-hmm. And he was one of my favorites, not only in my view, the greatest Razorback or one of the greatest Razorbacks ever to play, but he was not, it didn't come natural to him. But what he did is we worked with him, and he understood that the investment he was making now would pay off. And Darren McFadden cannot walk in this state without being a hero, and that's also well-deserved. But he put in the work back then, and part of that, you know, he wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. But I think it is talking to people. Arkansas wants to touch the people that are leading the university and touch the Razorbacks, and I think this is a powerful tool and can be if used effectively.
There's probably not an athlete that you worked with that came farther than Darren did. Yeah. I mean, think about whenever he went to New York as a sophomore for the Heisman. He looked so nervous, was kind of clammed up. And then he goes back the next year, and, you know, from just a standpoint of being comfortable talking in front of people, he had taken such a huge step.
He really has, and that, those are the moments. You know, he went into the College Football Hall of Fame a few years ago, and we had a dinner for him, and we're holding him, and he says, I'd like to apologize to you, Kevin. I said, apologize? And he remembered some interview that he hadn't done in a while, you know, or he didn't come on time or something. I said, Darren, I don't remember that at all. I remember you always. I said, now, Matt Jones, not this Matt Jones, but the other Matt Jones, that was like pinning Jell-O to the wall. You know, he could do amazing things on the field, but interviews weren't his thing. But I think that was it. He understood that. Now, talk about pressure. One of the most pressure-packed situations sometimes you're in, you don't feel like you're in. We're getting ready for that first Heisman Trophy ceremony. And Troy Smith and Brady Quinn and Darren McFadden. And he looks at me and goes, I don't know how to tie a tie. Will you tie my tie? Well, listen, I tie my tie. No one's looking at me. But now my tie is going to be a Heisman finalist, right? I'm not, but my tie is. My other Heisman moment is when Andre Ware, who's a Heisman winner, called. He had flown into Fayetteville to do a TV game. And he said, Kevin, I left my tie at home. Can you bring me a tie? So my tie was on Heisman winner on TV twice. So that's my closest to fame. Those are the moments. And, you know, I was texting with Darren the other day. So proud of him. And having those relationships, that's what has made this special. The wins are unbelievable. The time sitting in Coach Campbell's office. Those are the things that really stand out as the years go on, more so than the wins. And sometimes the losses are the time where you bond with those people even more so. You don't want them, but when you have them, you realize who's in it with you.
I think, you know, we probably know like what some of the most infamous stories that you had to deal with when you were in that SID role, whether it be Petrino or
who was that?
Okay. Dana Altman giving Kevin drove the getaway car, as I like to tell everybody. what are the more unique stories that you remember from those 35 years?
Oh gosh, there are just so many moments where you work alongside people. I had the privilege and pleasure to work with Coach Broyles, and every day was you looked up and go, did that just happen? Really, did that? I mean, one of my favorite stories, and it was after he had retired. Coach Broyles had done so many things in his life. Literally, for instance, we lost Dolly Parton recently. Whenever someone like that would pass away, I would go to Coach Broyles. I said, well, Coach, did you know so-and-so? Well, yeah, I was there. And I said, well, Coach, did you ever know Elvis Presley? He said, well, Barbara and I were in Vegas, and we were at the Elvis show, and we were going to go to dinner with Daryl and Edith Royal. And we finished the show, and somebody came, and they said, Elvis would like to see you backstage. And he said, but we had dinner reservations. But we went backstage and we met Elvis backstage. I mean, this was an imposition, to Coach Broyles. I'm like, you went backstage with Elvis in Las Vegas? And he would just say these stories. But the other one I was going to mention is he had gone on to be an advocate for Alzheimer's caregiving. And I just gave his playbook to a colleague of mine who's dealing with a parent that has dementia, and what a blessing Coach Broyles left behind in that. But he called, and he was doing a conference in Washington, D.C., and he called, and I wish I would have kept this voicemail. He said, Kevin, I am giving a presentation in Washington, D.C. with Phyllis George. Now, people remember Phyllis George, Mr. Mm-hmm. Berg? But they want me to throw a pass at the end of my talk to T.O., Terrell Owens. He said, I don't know what route I should have him run. Give me a call back. So those were the problems of Frank Broyles in the day. What kind of pass to throw T.O. at the end of a speech? So there's so many memories. But, again, it's the moments together. I had the pleasure of being Dave Van Horn's sport administrator for 15 years. To be there in Omaha, to be there when you clinch going to Omaha, to be around those players and knowing you were in some way a part of that, mm-hmm. those are the moments that stick out to me.
I think the natural follow-up here is, what route did you tell him to throw?
That's right. I just said go with the out because it wasn't a big ballroom or anything, so we didn't want to go post or anything.
You talked about working with Dave Van Horn. What are the stories there?
Well, Dave Van Horn is it's amazing, and I was so pleased to see him sign an extension of the contract. I mean, Dave Van Horn, and I won't go through the numbers. I think the last number I had was 16 football coaches, 15 men's basketball coaches. Guess how many baseball coaches? Two. Norm DeBryan. I was with Coach DeBryan when we went to Natchitoches, Louisiana, to play a young coach named Dave Van Horn when he was at Northwestern State. But to have the longevity of Coach DeBryan and Coach Van Horn, it's just we need to enjoy it while we have it. It won't go forever, but the continuity of that. But Coach Van Horn, I mean, I love Coach Van Horn. He's intense, right? Mm-hmm. I think what fans really love about Coach Van Horn is he, whatever is in here, it's coming out here, right? He's going to tell you, and that's why Swatters Clubs are great, because he's going to tell you exactly what he's thinking. And he's honest. Sometimes I would say, Coach, maybe stop short of that, maybe, and it would just come on out. But that's why I love him so much, and he's done an incredible job.
And there's no coach speak that filibusters the time. I tell people all the time that when you talk to Dave for 30 minutes, it's like talking to most coaches for 90 because of just how much information is going to come at you in a short amount of time. You're talking about him whenever he was at Northwestern State. He actually played in the first of three last games, or he coached in the first of three last games at George Cole Field that took so long for George Cole Field or for Baum to get finished that they had three designated last games at George Cole Field. In fact, Norm in the last one, he said, is this the last game again?
I saw Coach DeBrown the other day, and we were reminiscing about Skip Bertman, the longtime LSU coach who passed away. And we were laughing because when Skip Bertman was making his farewell tour, and LSU pretty much owned his, I witnessed some really beat downs at Alex Box Stadium back in the day, 24-6, and when there wasn't a run rule on a Sunday, that was not a fun bus ride home, by the way, at that point. Mm. But we invited, Coach Bertman was having his farewell tour, and we gave him a beautiful gift before the first game at LSU, and then we swept LSU and sent him home. So that was a special moment.
The gift was a hog hat that he put on with his LSU uniform.
He put on a hog hat with a purple and gold, so... That's an interesting outfit.
Just a quick aside, talking about Coach Bertman passing away, I thought that was what the Razorbacks did that day, and I saw some other program. I don't know if Arkansas was first or if other people followed their lead. They were one of the first ones I saw, though, where that's PR done right, where Skip Bertman is someone who he's almost bigger than the game of college baseball. As Matt Hobbs told me, he said, we don't have college baseball like we have it right now if it's not for Skip Bertman. Arkansas, they put out statements from Coach Van Horn, Coach DeBrien, and I just thought that is how – like that is an example of how PR is done at a really classy level.
Well, listen, sports is competitive. When LSU comes here, we want to beat the dog out of them, right? And we wanted to beat Coach Bertman and his teams. But to stop and recognize Omaha, they're not – I truly believe this. They're not in – this beautiful stadium they are. The College World Series is not the event it is without Coach Bertman, without a Ron Frazier at Miami, without Gene Stephenson at Wichita. There are so many people that helped build that, Coach DeBrien part of that. And so I think recognizing that, and there was a respect. There was a great respect. Coach Bertman went on to be an athletic director. He was just a great ambassador for the game. And so, that was a great tribute from Coach Van Horn and Coach DeBrien, is recognizing those that have elevated the game along wherever they were.
Something I want to talk to you about. I don't know that a lot of people know this about you. You are on the executive director board for the College Baseball Foundation, which oversees the College Baseball Hall of Fame. They are in the process, very final late stages of opening an actual museum for the College Baseball Hall of Fame up in Overland Park at the museum at Prairie Fire. Yeah. This has been a Hall of Fame that's existed for 20 years, but there's never been a physical place where you could actually go see exhibits about college baseball's history. How did you get involved in that process? And tell people about the museum.
Sure. It's something that's been around a long time. Originally, they were going to build the Hall of Fame in Lubbock, Texas. And I'm sorry any West Texas folks in here. But I like me some Overland Park a little better than Lubbock, Texas. But it's tremendous. I got approached through a colleague. You mentioned college sports communicators. I had the privilege of serving on that board and serving as president a couple of years ago. And one of my colleagues actually referred the executive, or now executive director of the College Baseball Foundation, to me. One, they knew I loved college baseball. It's really been a treat to be a part of it. I mean, you're sitting, last year we had some incredible I interviewed Scott Boras, I interviewed Mark McGuire, I interviewed Steven Strasburg to see that royalty. But as Matt mentioned, Museum of Prairie Fire is starting to build. Walker Foundation, Patton Willard Walker Foundation, gave a tremendous gift in honor of the coaches. Coach's area of the museum is going to be named in honor of Coach DeBrien. But it's at the museum at Prairie Fire. They have what's now called the home run dugout, which is where Tom Murphy can go in and act like he's Sammy Sosa and try to hit some home runs. Or I should come up with an Atlanta Brave. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But it's a batting cage where you can hit at ballparks all around the country. But I really encourage you to get involved. It's a great celebration of college baseball. Jeff King was our first University of Arkansas inductee. That was the first time after that he came back to Fayetteville. It was the first time he'd been to Fayetteville since 1985. Mm-hmm. You think Fayetteville in Northwest Arkansas has changed a little bit since 1985? And Lindy's going, yes, it has. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome. Coach DeBrien, of course, went in last year. And the Hall of Fame's coming soon in Overland Park.
And I was at the Hall of Fame the night that Coach DeBrien went in there back in February. And what really stood out to me is how meaningful it is for someone like a Mark McGuire, and you think about everything he did in his professional career, how meaningful that was for him, for a Steven Strasburg, for people who they're known really not for college baseball, how meaningful that was to have their college years recognized in the way they did.
Well, I think what you find out when you talk to them, listen, pro sports are amazing. There are some amazing moments, but it's a business. It's a profession. A college, and I think this is still true. Obviously, the college game, college landscape has changed dramatically. There's pay involved. But I think when you sit across the table from those guys and you talk about it, it's like it happened yesterday. Those moments are pivotal in their lives. Mm-hmm. When they showed up on campus, they're 17, 18-year-old young men, young women, and by the time they leave, they've not only built friends, they've built their network, but they're young men, they're young women going on into their career. And so even those who have celebrated at the very highest level of professional sports, the way they talk in reverence about their collegiate experience and their teammates is really extraordinary.
If you ever get a chance to go in Arkansas, like Kevin said, it's had two people who have been inducted. There are going to be more in the future. But I figure Coach Van Horn will go in there one day. All of these Golden Spike Award winners, I would think, have a pretty good chance. Like, you should go experience that, because that was really neat that night when Coach DeBryan went in. There were about maybe 500 people in the room.
Yeah.
About 50 of them were wearing Razorback gear, and that was
yeah,
just
Yeah, Coach DeBryan really was a little, a little embarrassed when we called the Hogs when they introduced him, but you know what? That's just the price you pay. If you don't want to call the Hogs, don't go to the Hall of Fame. But Coach Van Horn, I think, is going into the ABCA Hall of Fame as well in Chicago. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time before Coach Van Horn and then other greats that have come through the program will be there.
What do you think we're talking about in sports this time next year?
Good question.
A 15-team SEC?
Maybe Sewanee back in the SEC.
Possibly.
If there's an opening. I don't know. I think that's the biggest thing is what's amazing about college athletics. And I said this in the 30 years that I worked in athletics, there was change all the time. But not like the change even in the last 3 or 4 years. And so now, literally, this phone will update you on what has changed, right? We're all thinking about a court case. How is that going to change all of that? Obviously, there's some national dialogue related to will Congress get involved in the Protect College Sports Act? What's going to happen? So the more things settle, the more things bubble up. So what I do hope we're talking about is that despite the NIL, despite all of that, when you're around the young men and the young women competing at the University of Arkansas, there is that dedication. When they step inside those lines, they're competing, and they're playing for the Razorbacks. And what I love about it is they're playing for the entire state. We have such a unique experience here in the University of Arkansas that it's really a tie that binds the state together. And so I hope we don't get to keep them around as long as we'd like, but it still means something, and you still see that in their eyes that they're representing more than just themselves when they step on the field.
Kevin, it's always great when you come here. We appreciate you coming, and good luck to you at the Alumni Association.
Thank you.
I'm William Clark Green. Been chasing songs all over this great country for years now. It's been a blast, but the road will wear you out. Good food makes it better. Rudy's is the go-to for me and the crew. No frills, just real Texas barbecue, done right. Brisket, ribs, cream corn, that famous sauce, it's like a little piece of home when you're nowhere near it. Don't get me started on those breakfast tacos. Serve till 10 a.m., which is perfect if you're living on musician time. Find a Rudy's at Rudy's.com. Who knows, you might just bump into me in line.
LPGA Week in Northwest Arkansas returns this September as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship presented by P&G. Join us September 21st through the 27th at Pinnacle Country Club in Rogers to watch the world's best female golfers compete. Plus, enjoy family-friendly activities, food, and entertainment all week long. Tickets start at just $10. Visit www.nwachampionship.com to learn more and purchase your tickets today.